Amen. Well, dear saints, this is a special session. We don't often have a chance to have fellowship in this way. So we're thankful for all of you, or some of you, offering questions to which we can do our best to respond. And as you know, it's called question responses because we do not have any answers. These are just responses to the question.
There's only one answer.
That's right. Yes. Yes, we have one answer. And yes, we will do our best to apply that principle now. So we have the brothers and sisters who are serving us separated the questions into four areas. And so what we thought we would do, because our time is fairly short, we'll end at 5:15. We'll just, so we cover all the areas, we'll alternate. We'll do one question in each area and then cycle back through. So these are the categories. There were questions related to the ministry. Ministry-related questions, number one. Two, questions related to the conference material that we've covered so far. Amen. Thirdly, questions related to our experience in general. And fourthly, other questions. Okay, so the first question in the section on ministry related is, was there a message or book that was pivotal in any way for you as a working saint or a serving one? So my answer to that question is yes. I've been blessed to serve the Lord with all my time for about 25 years or so. Prior to that, I had maybe 20 plus years in a job. And so this would refer back to those years firstly, but it has continued. The number one help for me has been Song of Songs by Watchman Nee. And I can remember when I was working, I would always try. I worked in a team of persons in a clinical setting, and the team enjoyed being together, and so they would always gather for lunch and have an hour lunch break together. And I looked for any opportunity, and most of the time I had an opportunity, to excuse myself because I had something pressing. And the pressing thing I had to do was that I wanted to read an outline, a chapter of Song of Songs by Watchman Nee, because I found out that when I read this, it just everything had a different, I had a different perspective on things. And it was so supplying, so rich. So I have in my file cabinet those outlines that I did of in handwritten form of the chapters of Song of Songs by Watchman Nee. Wow. So from that time, I developed a practice. It wasn't a determination so much, but I read that book at least once a year. And it's been very, very helpful to me. And every time I read it, it's new. Wow. There's always fresh revelation. The other, I'll just mention briefly, the other book that I'd recommend to you is one that the church in Anaheim has been reading recently, together, corporately. And that is the perfecting training. Wow. Yeah. So the perfecting training was as I understand it, the account of interactions that Brother Lee had with the saints in the church in Anaheim, especially who were working saints, and the church in general, the saints in general, but all of them were working saints, I think. And the help conveyed through that book is indescribable. Wow. In living Christ, in enjoying the Lord, in bringing the Lord into our daily living, I don't think there could be a masterpiece to exceed the perfecting training. Yeah. And so we're, you know, some of us I see here in our small group, we read this book together week by week, and we're close to, I think we're on chapter 54 next week. But it's been so good. I just would really recommend it to you. If you ever have a chance to start a sequential reading in that book with some saints, then be careful every week to take the key utterances and the key practical points and catalog them and keep a record, because it'll be something that'll be valuable for you to turn back to again and again. Other books that are important include the working messages given to the working saints, of course, are key. And then this book that we did 1 year ago here together, The Law of Revival, of course. These are, and then there are five or six classic books that have in the title either Living Christ or Living with the Lord. Most of those books were given by Brother Lee when in a weekend conference, so they in general involve five or six chapters, transcripts of five or six messages, and each one of those I think we could really recommend to you as benefit of bringing the Lord into your endeavor of having the church life and your working life, and bring the Lord into those settings and living Christ there. Amen. Okay. Who's next? Brother Bob.
Is this working? It is. Okay, they assigned me to answer the first question in the next group. What is romance? A definition, please. I want to give a definition of romance. Well, I'm quite sure that God is the most romantic person in the universe. I'm very sure of this. If you really want to know romance, you need to get into a romance with God. Then you'll know what romance is. So we know that God wants to enter into us and spread in us until he saturates our whole being, right? He wants to work himself. We say he wants to work himself into us. Well, in order to do this, God takes the way of romance. He doesn't take the way of, forcing. But he takes the way of romance. That's his way. That's his way. So if we really want to enjoy the Lord and give him a way in us, we must enter into romance with him. We must enter into a loving love relationship. And remember, we're entering into a relationship with the one who is love. God is love. A definition of love is God himself. So if anybody knows what romance is and what love is, it's God, because that's what he is. And to me, that's a wonderful thing. And of course, we are not, as human beings, we have a capacity to love, but because of our fallen nature, we are not inclined to get into romance with the Lord. But once we believe into him, we have this verse. It says, we love because he first loved us. And this, the footnote on that verse is very enlightening. It says, God first loved us in that he infused us with himself as love, and put and generated within us the love with which we love him. So the love with which we love God is just God himself. It's the love of God. It's not something from ourselves. It is just as our faith is not from ourselves, right? We receive faith by God's infusion when we heard the word. We believed. How did you believe? It's a miracle. It's a total miracle. One day we just believed. And I don't know how I did it, but I did it. I know I believed. And so with this believing, we receive this person into us, and this person is love. So we are able to love him, and we are able to enter into a romance of mutual love, right? God loves us more than we can even imagine, And Satan slanders God to us, mainly. He tells us that God does not love us, which is an absolute lie, right? And the Bible tries to help us, persuade us, you know. There are verses like Romans 5, verse 8, which says that God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is that? Not that we were good people or worthy of God's love in any way. We were sinners. We were enemies of God. But God loved his enemies. That's us. And he loved sinners. So Christ died for us. And in 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says that in this we see love, in that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's verse 9, says that we see God's love in that he loved us that we may have life and live. Oh, he sent his Son that we may have life and live through him. All of this is a result of God's love. It has nothing to do with us. In fact, we are totally unworthy of it. So I would say we need to, you know, be assured that God loves us. We need to have the full assurance that God loves us. And he will never, his love is eternal. He is the eternal, unchanging love. Once he loves you eternally. And he will never change. You know, men change. You know, Brother Lee said one time, people change. Men change. God never changes. He never changes. And the fact that God loves us is undisputable. No one, you know, we cannot, we have to accept this fact. God loves us. God loves us with a love that is beyond anything we can imagine. Anyway, what is romance? I don't think I answered the question. A relationship of mutual love between two persons. In this case, it's intimate. Intimacy. It involves intimacy with the Lord. Yeah, it's not like from a distance. It's very intimate. It's a very intimate relationship. And we need to learn to have such a relationship with the Lord, right? We should practice it, actually. Every day, we should tell the Lord we love him, and we should tell him with much feeling and much appreciation, you know, much intimacy. God's need. Well, yes. God is a lover. What does a lover need? He doesn't want to be alone. He needs a counterpart. He needs someone to return the love to him, to respond to him, right? My goodness, think about it. God is a lover. It's truly remarkable, isn't it? He is a lover to the uttermost. He is the absolute lover in the universe. He needs someone to love him. That's a big need, I think. Okay, next.
Here. Can you hear me? How do I set my mind on the Spirit? I feel that my mind is never in my control. It is always wandering. I don't know how to stop it and be in my Spirit. Very good questions, but very easy answer. Just call on the name of the Lord. Don't you think that's the best answer? I think that's the only way. We cannot control our own mind. So let's just look to the Lord and call on him and focus on him. And by doing that, our mind will be controlled by our Lord who is in our spirit. Then we will have such a huge contact with him. Don't you think this is wonderful? You know, I'm just so glad, you know, when the brothers, Brother Lee, discovered calling on the name of the Lord. That's in 1968. Is that right? Yeah. You know, without that, I probably will be in the world today because our family is a business family. You know, it's not like brotherly. Anyway, so, but I was so glad that one day when I came to this understanding that I cannot control my own mind, because if I go into my question that I cannot answer, it's a lot of questions that I can answer. The more you go into your mind, the deeper you fall into your mind. And that is so bad. You know, like at that time, I thought that I had been brainwashed by my parents to be in the Lord's recovery. So I started wondering if this is really true. You know, do you think you can answer that yourself? You cannot answer, because the only answer is in the name of the Lord that He has given us. You know, I'm just so glad that we all have the privilege to call on His name. Amen. And when we call on His name, we actually touch Him. Amen. We touch all the riches that is Christ. You know, so that we have no time to be out of control. Don't you think that's wonderful? Okay, so that's my answer to that. Let me go on to another question here. Okay, this may take a little bit longer time. You say, what is your experience of passing through storms and rebellion in the Lord's recovery? If another storms happen, how do we stand? You think I should answer that question? You know, storms will always come. Okay, it's whether 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, so we should not think that there will be no storms. Because, as probably shared, we have an enemy. And that enemy never sleeps. He's like a roaring lion trying to devour us. Even among the 12 disciples of the Lord, one got devoured by the enemy. You know, so what should we do? You know, what should we do? You know, I was just sharing with us, with some brothers. I just came back from France, you know, from Paris. So we are having some fellowship. And I was fellowshipping with them that I'm always quite amazed, or I don't quite understand why this happened. When I was 12 years old, even before I was baptized, there was a huge storm in the church in Manila. A huge storm. Remember, probably stayed in Manila for 10 years, you know. You know, but the one who rebel against him are the co-workers. You know, the elders stood very clearly with Brother Lee, but the two co-workers really rose up. And he was joined by at least one of the co-workers from Taipei to have this rebellion. Okay. And one of those co-workers actually is Simon Meek. Do you know Simon Meek? Simon Meek was a co-worker in Fuzhou, when Brother Ni was in Fuzhou. And he also signed the letter of excommunication against Brother Ni. You know? So I just don't understand why this brother come to Manila and become a co-worker. You know? And so this time, he wants to excommunicate Brother Ni. You know, one time he excommunicated Brother Ni, and this time he wants to excommunicate Brother Lee. You know, it was quite strange, you know. I don't know exactly. Maybe at that time there is no internet, you know. Nothing is quite clear who is who, you know. But that's what happened, you know. But let me give you this experience that I went through that probably helped me to go through this rebellion. And not just me, but my whole family. You know, my father was gained to the Lord by his brother, a brother who was 9 years older than him. So he came into the recovery also through him. But this brother rebelled against Brother Lee. Okay? He rebelled against Brother Lee, and he wanted my father to also rebel against him, against Brother Lee. So he put a lot of pressure, and not just to pressure us, but pressure all our relatives to be against us if we actually continue to follow Brother Lee. Okay, so that was the background. When my mother noticed about this, my mother felt that the only way we can escape rebelling such as the is our constant and desperate touch with the Lord. So what she did is this, you know. She would wake me up at 11 p.m. every night with my oldest sister, who is 10 years older than me, and the three of us would pray desperately on our knees, you know. You know, I think that really saved us. Because that time, my father was actually wavering a little bit. Because his brothers rebels. And all his acquaintances, you know, the people that he eats, the people that he, you know, fellowship with, all rebel. And he was telling us, you know, they have this table of 12 people that have lunch and dinner a lot of time together. All 11 rebel. Can you imagine that? So my mom was so frightened by this, you know. He said, but what could we do? He said, the only way is to go to the Lord and pray desperately to the Lord. There is no other way, you know. You may try to psych yourself up now, or you may try to read a lot of ministry, you know, but only the Spirit works, you know. So we need to turn to our spirit and touch the Lord. And not just to touch the Lord, but allow the Lord to touch us. You know, so one day when the time came, you know, those rebellious ones actually took over the meeting hall and put guards on the meeting hall. So if you want to go inside the meeting hall to have your church meeting, you have to declare that you are against Brother Lee. You have to make such declaration, you know. And if you don't, then you cannot go in, you know. You know, but Lord, my father stood with Brother. You know, I believe it was through all those prayer and much consideration before the Lord, you know. So when we talk about question like this, you know, maybe some of us think, you know, there is something that we could prepare, there is something that we could do so that we will escape such rebellious situation. But the only way is to be touched by the life of Christ. Make sure this resurrection life is very much in us. There is actually no other way. You know. That's why, you know, we have to keep ourselves in the church meeting. We need to keep ourselves in the fellowship of the saints. Those saints that are positive. So that we can pray together to ask the Lord to really cover us fully. So that we can stand with the Lord. Till he comes. May the Lord have mercy on us. That's why Brother Lee prays so much that the Lord needs to have mercy on us. You know, none of us could escape such thing unless it is the mercy of the Lord. You know? So may the Lord really touch us, you know. Especially in these last days, you know, when the time is near, the enemy is going to be more vicious than ever. Okay, we must recognize that. The enemy is going to be more vicious than ever before. You know, what the things that are happening in the U.S., you know, I thought it would never happen. You know, like, you know, all this. Anyway, we all know those things, you know. But it's getting worse and worse. So how do we stand against all this? It's by us being very much one with the Lord. Keep that intimacy fellowship with him so that he would be able to overcome all this by and through us. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Boy, what precious lessons.
Amen.
Timeless and invaluable. Amen. To hear this.
In Bethany, there are two sisters and a brother. And I have to be that brother. All I have to do is just be there.
We're glad you were there, Albert. The next question is in the ministry-related questions again. There is ministry on serving the Lord full-time. That serving the Lord full-time is a privilege, but also that ministry on encouragement for attaining the highest education. How do I know the Lord's leading in which path to take? I'm currently serving the Lord full-time. Well, very practical question. So, dear saints, we all have a profession, and our profession is to serve the Lord full-time. A minority of us have the opportunity to serve the Lord full-time in a job-dropping way. If we have that opportunity is we consider to be supremely precious and should be greatly appreciated. If you ever have the opportunity to serve the Lord full-time by dropping your job as opposed to serving the Lord full-time, keeping it with a job, then we're thankful to the Lord for His mercy towards you, that you have that privilege. This is our profession. And in the Old Testament, you had the Levites and the priest, yes. And so they were serving ones. And the Levites especially took care of practical service, and the priests took care of spiritual service. Now, in the New Testament experience, these two merge. And so all of us, regardless of what we're doing, practically or spiritually, we're all priests and Levites, and bring our spiritual exercise and spiritual application and spiritual service into our full-time work if that's what we're doing. But this Old Testament picture shows us that according to Ezekiel chapter 44 in particular, those who directly serve the Lord and minister to Him directly were the most blessed ones. So we're thankful for this if we have this opportunity. But if we don't have this opportunity, we're still full-time serving ones. Now, in our preparation, all of us should seek to attain the highest possible education which we're capable of pursuing. This isn't incompatible with serving the Lord full-time. Rather, it's a qualification for serving the Lord full-time. For one to not have an education that is at the level they could attain, may give a wrong impression to others that spiritual service is apart from what we attain to professionally. So every job-dropping full-time serving one should be prepared to serve the Lord in a job-dropping way. And so all of us should be prepared to work in a vocation or a profession and support ourselves as did the Apostle Paul. And for that we need education, and if we get the education that is more advanced than the best we can, the best we can attain to, then this allows us, if we do have the opportunity, if we do end up transitioning from job dropping service to job keeping service, allows us to have the greatest possible influence, presence for the gospel and for living Christ in a situation where this testimony is likely to not be represented well. So Brother Lee encouraged us to consider professions such as engineering, such as academic involvements, such as
medicine.
Such as medicine, health professions, knowing that among them there are many chosen ones, and who's there in their circle to bring a testimony to them and to speak words to them, there needs to be representation there. And so part of the God-ordained way is for us to consider how to have the gospel in every walk of professional life. That in the cross-section of the saints, all of us would be prepared to, in our area of service, to be a full-time serving one in a job-keeping way there for the sake of the Lord's testimony. So the question points to a misunderstanding that should be corrected. And that misunderstanding is that we prepare ourselves to serve full-time in a job-dropping way, or we prepare ourselves to serve full-time in a job-keeping way and pursue professional development that we wouldn't pursue otherwise. No, we should pursue professional development as much as we can, while the major underlying emphasis in this weekend and every fellowship we have in the church life is, as Brother Bob said, we are seeking to live a life intrinsically joined to the Lord, receptive of Him, bring Him into every decision, every consideration. And so along the way, we may be someone who is capable of doctoral studies, doesn't pursue a master's degree, because the Lord leads them after their bachelor's degree to go to the full-time training and serve the Lord full-time. That's the Lord's leading. They certainly should not have been unresponsive to that leading and said, no, I need to pursue my education. But there are some, and among this group some of you are, who at that point, after the full-time training or before, have a sense, I should pursue my studies. I should pursue my studies. If we pursue our studies, that, again, that does not mean that we don't serve the Lord full time. The Lord may still lead us to serve the Lord full time. And of course, that in Brother Lee's sharing about Hiram the pillar builder, that's exactly what he said. He said, we should pursue our education. And he said, you know, I believe, he said, get 3 PhDs if you need to. And then on the graduation day, begin to serve the Lord full time. And this was his fellowship to us. And so in Matthew 26, in the footnote on Mary, who poured herself out, who broke the flask, poured herself out on the Lord, anointing him for his burial. Ahead of time, the footnote there, as you know, says, through the years, there's a chronicle of thousands of persons whose life treasures, whose high education, whose professional development was poured out upon the Lord. Then the footnote asks, is this a waste? He says, none of those who did this ever considered that it was a waste. So.
What the breast has spoken. I just want you to know that there are flies up here, and that's why the breast keep doing this. So I will stand here and try to respond to one of these questions. I did not know that I would be doing this. I just sat next to the brother. I will respond to a question here on questions related to the conference material. What was your experience of consecration? How can I overcome the initial dreadfulness? I think the easiest way to do this is to tell a story about mine. But before that, you know, the basis of our consecration is God's purpose. We belong to the Lord. That's just it. He died for us. He redeemed us. We belong. But when we touch consecration, we don't touch only the basis of consecration. We touch the motive of our consecration. It's the motive of our consecration that brings in the sweetness, and actually it's the motive of our consecration that overcomes this initial dreadfulness. The motive of our consecration is love.
Amen.
One died for all, therefore all died. And he no longer lives, the ones that he died for no longer live for themselves, but the people who died for them and have been raised. What comes to my memory whenever I think about this is how I ended up going through the full-time training. So when I was done with college, in the locality I was, there wasn't, you know, any kind of official speaking related to the full-time training, but you would hear it from the saints and from some of the leading ones. And I had a kind of situation where I did research as an undergraduate, so I could go directly to my PhD. I didn't have to kind of do a master's and this kind of thing. And then I started working. And my thought was, I'm going to work for a little bit, maybe about 6 months, and then I'll return and finish my PhD. So I was doing this, but I had this really good job. I'll tell you why it was a good job. I could finish my work in 2 hours. So I had, and you had this option where you could do 8-hour days or 10-hour days for 4 days a week. Of course, I chose the 10-hour days for 4 days a week. And if I'm finishing my work in 2 hours, that means I've got 8 hours sitting at that office doing nothing. So this is what I started doing. New Testament, the footnotes. At that time, they used to send out these high peak books as a reading, kind of like E-Mana is now. So I spent 8 hours every day reading this just after my work was done. This was all I did. So I did this for a number of months. And during that time, I was struggling with the notion of going to the full-time training or going to get my PhD. Or staying at this really excellent job. So this was going on, and I just remembered I struggled a bit, and I had received some fellowship. You know, you need to learn to be honest with the Lord and this kind of thing. And so one afternoon, I just told the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I'm a human being. So if you want me to go to the training, you have to give me the feeling to go to the training. I just said that, you know, however it was. And so what had been happening was this. I was reading these books every day. I'm reading the High Peak of the Divine Revelation every day in my office. And one day, I got to this portion, and I read it, and I couldn't go on. And so it's part of the resumption of Brother Nee's ministry. And what's happening is Brother Nee had been excommunicated. Some saints wanted him to resume his ministry. And then there's this description about Brother Lee and one of the sisters are in the inner parlor. And the rest of the saints are kind of sitting on the outside because they weren't allowed to come in. And the brothers are having this kind of fellowship. And there are a lot of things that come out in that portion. But I was reading it, and the feeling I had was, there is nothing as pure as this. As pure. I couldn't shake the feeling. And the sense I got was a little bit like the sense that I received when I was saved. And so I told the Lord at that moment, not thinking about my future or anything like that, I said, look, if there is anywhere
I can go to get more of this and to be like these people are. I will leave my job, I will forget about my PhD, and I will go there. That was that. So I didn't, it wasn't like, oh, you know, there's the training, there's this, there's that. It was like I was drawn into it. The Lord showed me something that was much more attractive than getting a PhD. So this is how it started. I told the Lord that, and then, of course, I went back to my reading the thing 8 hours a day and whatnot. And I feel like the Memorial Day conference in 2005 was prepared just for me. Okay, just for me. I spent the whole summer reading the High Peak of the Divine Revelation. And like the last semi-annual training, that conference was on the all-inheriting vision of the age. And every message was 2 points on the High Peak of the Divine Revelation. So imagine this. I've been reading this all summer long, every day, up to 8 hours a day. I pray this prayer to the Lord. And then my summer ends with this, the all-inheriting vision of the age. And so I'm sitting there in the audience, and the brothers are speaking. And you can imagine all the things that are going on inside me as I'm hearing these words. And in one of the messages, one of the brothers says this, you come to the training and all that we see of this vision, we will give to you. Just be an Isaac, a glorious inheritor. It was almost like a direct answer to the prayer I had made when I was sitting in my office reading the High Peak of the Divine Revelation. And so, when that happened, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was kind of like, I can't believe this is happening. This is unreal. I'm not sure what to do. So I got a number of us brothers who were in that locality. We were all serving together. Some of them are actually here today. They don't know this part of the story. And we got together and we prayed into the night after the messages from the conference. We just prayed because I knew what was happening that weekend after that weekend was over. It was the end of my job. It was the end of my PhD. It was the end of everything as far as I could see. Okay. And so we prayed into the night, and that gave me, you know, just the peace to do this. So Monday came. I go tell my boss, who thinks I'm a really great worker, by the way. and I tell him, hey, I have something I need to do for the next 2 years. I can't work here anymore. I call my professor and I tell him, I'm so sorry. I'm not coming back. I can't do my PhD. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling weird. I'm not sure what to do. Then my boss and his boss call me into their office, and they're asking me if they offended me in any way. And then they give me this this document that was like, if you ever want this job back, just show this to them at HR and you can have your job back. But of course, I knew that was the end. So this was, I give this story to illustrate. When the Lord did this, there was no dreadfulness on my part. It's, you know, the hymn we were singing, arise the holy bargain strike, a fragment for the whole. So what we need to pray is something like this. Lord, show me your preciousness. Amen. If you see the Lord's preciousness, you start to taste what Paul tasted when he says, I count all these things as refuse. You could say these things were the high of the high, but to him it was refuse because he had seen the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. Okay, this was kind of an initial thing. I probably need to stop now, but our consecration is continuous. If I am here today still relying on that consecration from that time, I've got a problem. Our consecration before the Lord needs to be renewed over and over and over and over again. This means our seeing of the Lord's preciousness needs to increase over and over and over again. This is my simple response, and I think I will have one of the brothers continue now. Amen.
Okay, maybe I will take the question, how can we be built up in a church as large as Anaheim? We know that Anaheim is a large church, right? Must be like 700 saints, something like that. Well, I have to testify that in all the years I've been in the Lord's recovery, being in the church life has been one of the greatest blessings. Two great blessings. One is being under the ministry. I mean, this is a huge blessing to me, just to spend all these years being in the ministry and receiving the Lord speaking through the ministry is just an unspeakable blessing. The other blessing is being in the church life. So I always recommend this to the young ones. If you want to go on, stay in the ministry and be in the church life. To me, being in the church life is, you know, there are many aspects to the church life. First of all, there's the meetings. Meetings of the church. The prayer meeting. The ministry meeting. Well, it's not a church meeting. It's a ministry meeting. Then there's the small group meeting now, right? And then there's the Lord's Day meeting, the table meeting, and the prophesying meeting. If you want to be built up in the church, you should be in all those meetings, as many as possible. Come to the meetings. Don't let anything keep you away from the meetings. And when you come to the meetings, don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Participate in the meeting. If you come to the prayer meeting, do your best to pray with the saints, right? And if you come to the Lord's table, participate. Be a participator in all the meetings, including the home meetings. And then also be in some aspect of service. If you get a chance to serve and you have a positive feeling about it, you should take that opportunity, right? Whether it's children's meeting, with the children, with the young people, whatever kind of service. There are many kinds of service. It's a blessing and a privilege to serve the Lord. We have a serving life within us. And that the life is just Christ himself. Christ is a slave, right? He's God's slave. And he serves God happily and willingly. One verse that I've enjoyed for years is Mark 10:45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. It is a blessing to serve. We should be the Lord's slaves in the church. Whatever area we have the opportunity to serve in, we should take advantage of it and serve. Of course, we also should realize that the real building up is the growth in life. There is no real building without the growth in life. We must take the way of life, right? And we must eat the Lord. Every day we must eat the Lord. We must be in the Word, take the Lord in, exercise our spirit to walk according to the mingled spirit, right? Take heed to your spirit, right? Follow the Lord in your spirit. When the Lord touches you on something, do your best to say amen to him so that he can spread out from your spirit into your soul. He can grow in you. There will be the growth in life. That is the real building, right? And in everything related to the church, we should be in this realm of life, in this realm of the spirit with our spirit, right? Not just outward activities, but the inward reality of the Lord living in us, working in us, operating in us, and our responding to him. Then we will have the real growth in life. And that will be the real building up. So in any size church, it doesn't matter how big or small the church is. If we have the growth in life, we are built up wherever we may go. Right? You may say, oh, I'm not built up in that locality. Well, if we are built up, if we have the growth of Christ in us, we're built up everywhere. We're built up everywhere, right? So anyway, that's the answer I would give to that question. As large as Anaheim is, there are the meetings, there are the various ways of serving, right? And there are many, many opportunities to get involved. And then there's always the Lord within, moving, operating, and spreading within us. Amen.
Maybe I could continue a little bit on what Bob just shared. You know, we may think the church in Anaheim is big, but if you compare to some churches, we are not that big. We need to be bigger. So, don't you think so, Roger? Yeah. Anyway, I was just fellowshipping so much with the Taiwan brothers, you know. You know, the church in Taipei is 20,000. Church in Taipei, 20,000. You know how many meeting halls they have? 101. 101 meeting halls. So, maybe we should endeavor a little bit more. Anyway, one time a brother was sharing with us, and he wrote us a letter, and he said he's in the church in Anaheim, but so many times he feels so idle, you know, has nothing to do. So we fellowship with Benson, and Benson cannot understand this. He said, how could a person be in Anaheim and feel idle? That means, you know, he must be waiting at home for people to assign something for him to do. Right? So when nobody assigns him, he just sit at home, relax, and have a good time. That's why he was idle. So if we want to build up the church in Anaheim, we should never be idle.
Amen.
We should be so proactive.
Amen.
You know, some people complain, you know, how come nobody is shepherding me? You should complain to yourself, how come you're not shepherding others? You know, how come you have received so much already through the years, and you feel people has to come and shepherd you? You know, why don't you call people? Why don't you go shepherd people? Then you will have a lot of things to do. And just by doing all this, you are just building up yourself, growth in life. And by your growing in life, growing is building. You are building up the church. Because the church is not an outside building. The church is you. So if you are growing, you are building. Okay, in the church, we'll be growing bigger for the expression of our mighty God. Don't you think that's wonderful? We all can have such a part. Okay. I would also share a little bit about, you know, job dropping full-timer and job keeping full-timer. You know, I was very much touched one time when Brother Lee shared this. He said he shared that 1 out of 20 should be a job dropping full-timer. He said, but when he said that, he is not belittling the job-keeping full-timers. Because without the job-keeping full-timer, there can be no job-dropping full-timer. Don't you think that's wonderful to know? You know, so I was so happy I can be a job-keeping full-timer. That's why it took me so long to become a job-dropping full-timer. Because I want to support others, you know. But it comes a time when I was just too busy. So the brothers all talked to me about, it's time for you to drop this. Otherwise, you'll be a candle burning in both sides. So praise the Lord. I think, you know, our main focus should be in serving the Lord.
Amen.
Whether you need a job or not depends on the situation. And the situation do change. You know, Paul need to sometime do tents, but sometimes not. Okay, so actually that should not be our consideration. You know, I first went full-time in Irving, Texas. Then the brothers asked me, to move to Anaheim, California. Anaheim was in a turmoil at that time, so there is no jobs. So I went back to work, and I worked happily. And then the fellowship come again. Maybe it's time for you to drop your job. So I searched the Lord, and I have the peace. So I dropped my job. You know, praise the Lord, you know. If we, even in our full-time service of the Lord, by our dropping our work, if we do not feel that we are actually serving the Lord, we will burn out. It's very easy to burn out. Or you can even feel that there is not much meaning to your serving life. So what we need to really see is that we are here on earth to serve the Lord. Amen. If it takes us to work, we work. If we don't have time to work, then we drop our job. Don't you think that's wonderful? Amen. You know, so this relates to our romance with the Lord. You know, if we love the Lord so much, we would do anything and everything. Amen. You know, to be just one with Him. Amen. Anyway, so that's... Now, I have another... What did I do? What did we talk about?
Third one under experience.
When I make a decision. When I make a decision to church, to check...
No.
It's the second one. What is the balance in our realizing that we may not say very much, but still minister Christ who we are, in our meeting to give substantial food, complete the word of God in each other, so that our times with others is not substanceless. Okay, so when we talk about serving the Lord, you know the main thing in serving the Lord is to dispense Christ. Okay, that is our serving. We need to dispense Christ to one another. Okay, so when you talk about dispensing Christ, you must have Christ. Otherwise, what are you dispensing? You may dispense yourself. And that would be terrible. We need to dispense Christ. That is how we can build up the church. Okay? And so how do we dispense Christ? It's by us enjoying Christ. Amen. So the more we enjoy Christ, the more we dive into the Word, the more, you know, we like... Joel is talking about if we more consecrate ourselves to the Lord. You know, I don't know, when we read this, you know, in the past, I always think that consecrating ourselves is to suffer for the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? But recently I was reading, consecrate ourselves to the Lord is to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
You know, we give up ourselves, we want to be terminated so that we can be fully open to the Lord. For us to enjoy Christ. Amen. To the fullness, to the uttermost.
Amen.
Don't you think that's wonderful? And then if you have so much Christ, you know, you don't have to even speak too much. Just by people looking at you, they may receive Christ. You know, talking about that family in Bethany, he said many people come to see Lazarus. Lazarus doesn't have to say a thing. Just by sitting there, people receive the resurrection life. Because he experienced resurrection life. You know, so today, you know, when we talk about we need to read, we need to do this, you know, it's not, you know, just make sure we are not all serving LSM trying to sell books. This is not the reason. The reason is we feel that when John saw the revelation of the New Jerusalem, and he came back to write the Gospel of John. He had a fantastic beginning, saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it is the Word, the tabernacle among us. You know, when we come to the Word of God, we need to see that we are coming to God.
Amen.
We read with our spirit so that we can be, you know, we can be constituted with the Word of God. This is how we grow in life. You know, growing in life is not just to do a lot of things. You know, maybe we think, you know, by serving a lot, we are growing in life. But growing in life depends on what we eat, what we take into us, so that Christ will increase and we will decrease. Amen. You know, so that when we sit there, people would actually think that God is with us. Amen. Don't you think that's wonderful? Amen. We can all do that, you know. You know, I was so touched, you know, when Watchman Nee shared, when he went to visit M.E. Barber, just by going into her living room, he felt that God is there, you know. Amen. You know, I go into people, when we visit people, make sure we are one with God. Okay, and then, you know, people will really see God. You know, sometimes maybe we would have such experience, you know, that when we are so much in touch with the Lord, just by saying a little bit would actually get people saved. Don't you think so? Okay, let me give you, may the Lord cover me to give you this testimony. You know. When I was still in Texas, one morning I woke up and the Lord touched me. After my morning revival, you know, the Lord touched me to call someone. And that someone is not in Texas. He is in California. So he said, you need to call him. So I was wondering, why should I call him, you know? But the Lord kept bothering me. So I said, Lord, if you want to call him, I'll call him. So I call. So I called his brother. And this brother's wife answered the phone. And this wife feel that her husband believed in the Lord because one day he was so sick. And I talked to him about the Lord, so he believed in the Lord. So he said it's because he was sick. So that's not a true belief. So for months, you know, she was wondering, you know, if her husband really saved, is there really a God and all this stuff, you know. But that day when I call, you know, I call and she answered. And she asked me, why do you call at this time? Why do you call at this time? So I told her, you know, I woke up this morning and I have a feeling to call. Something from within gave me such a feeling to call, so I call. So you know what she said? She said, just by this calling, now I truly believe there is a God. The God who you believe. Because my husband is suffering from a massive bleeding. So they think we call 911. You know, the emergency people are just knocking on the door, you know. And so you call at this point in time. So I believe that my husband would be saved. Amen. And he was saved. Amen. Oh, and they start loving the Lord so much. For years, you know, they serve. Because they are older, they cannot serve too much. But, you know, they make sure that they bring a lot of stuff during love feast. He said, that is what we could do. You know? And so they took care of a lot of younger ones. You know, so it is not, you know, what we plan to do. You know? It is how much we are one with the Lord. And just by being one with the Lord, you know, the Lord could actually dispense himself to others in such a living way. Another thing is this. One time, when I was flying to a country, you know, a brother called me and said, can you talk to my father-in-law? We really want him to be saved. So should I stop here?
No.
I think we're all hungry. Anyway, I'll make it short. So he said, my mother-in-law is saved. The father and mother of this brother is safe, but he's not. So you need to come. So I said, does he want me to come and preach the gospel? He said, yes. So he invited me to a very nice lunch. And when we came to lunch, for 20, 30 minutes, he was saying how bad Christians are. You know, he's saying Christians, you know, are hypocrites. You know, Christians fight one another for 100 years. He says, so how come, you know, you Christians say God is love and all this stuff? So I had to sit there and listen. I was wondering all those time, you know, what do you mean you want me to come preach the gospel to you? When you want to do all this kind of talking. So I waited and waited, and I turned to my spirit desperately. And at one point when he stopped, you know, for a few seconds, I said, Mister, are you enjoying all this? Are you happy? If you're not happy, you need to think about your life. Come back to the Lord. And he believed. And he brought his whole family to the... Can you imagine that? I did not preach the gospel in John 3:16, you know, Romans and talk about. I just want to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord could dispense himself.
Amen.
Anyway, we better stop here, huh? Amen.